You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What really left is there for the Cowboys to do this offseason? We'll discuss it here as we get riled up on the Cowboys. My man Tom Ryle, your boy Roy White. You can follow him at Tom Ryle on Twitter, at Tom Ryle BTB. And, of course, you can follow me at RDub3 on the Twitter sphere. And with all of our great content at bloggingtheboys.com and at bloggingtheboys on Twitter as well. You know, Tom, we sit here about a month away from the NFL draft. And as we look forward to that, in the past, we've often been able to say to one another, hey, it's very clear the Cowboys have needs at X, Y, and Z, and they need to be addressed. We don't know what order that's going to take place in, but we do know these needs need to be addressed early and often. And so this is going to be an area of focus as we prepare for the draft and kind of get listeners and those around us ready to, you know, absorb what the Cowboys will be doing. This year, Tom, we find ourselves in a completely different situation, one unlike we've ever seen. And as you detailed, kind of puts us in a place where the Cowboys could literally take any direction, and we might be okay with it and have good reason.
Yeah. And the other factor in it all is that, my gosh, they have checked nearly all the boxes. You know, of course, the Gilmore and Cook signings were huge. Filled, I think, one definitely of the biggest needs at wide receiver, and cornerback really strengthened that group. And just Wednesday, they checked off another, I think, less important but still really nice to have box in signing Jonathan Hankins. And they're even talking about still being interested in bringing back Carlos Watkins, which would really shore up defensive tackle. It's like you go, well, what's the burning need? And you just hear crickets. It's like you can say, well, this would be nice, but is it a desperate need? And, you know, when I was thinking about this, trying to get ready for the podcast and come up with something to say rather than just you and I having stream of consciousness crap off the top of our heads about nothing in particular.
What do you mean? We always do it that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm giving away our broadcast. Okay. I sat down and looked at who would the starters be right now. And I realized, yeah, they could roll into the season with these guys when you look at some of the backups they have along with them. And we're fine. Doesn't kind of really matter who they pull in the draft.
You've got a name, you know, at least at every position from a starting standpoint. Now that Hankins has come back. And by the way, you mentioned what an incredible deal from a team perspective. $1.5 million to get one of your leading run stuffers back. That gives me optimism that Watkins will return, because I'm guessing he's going to figure out that the market isn't that high for him either, and he may have to come back on a one-year prove-it deal. And that puts the Cowboys in an incredible position. You know, they could still upgrade that position potentially in the draft or even in free agency, as I'll discuss a little bit later. But as we sit here today, and you detailed it, I don't know if there's a position that, if you said to me the season starts tomorrow, that I wouldn't say, okay, well, let's roll.
Yeah. And that's even if when you look at, you know, I put up 22 names to cover the 11 starters on each side of the ball, and you could even swap people out. I mean, maybe Sam Williams is going to have a bonkers training camp and move ahead of Dorrance Armstrong. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Deron Bland is going to push Jordan Lewis into a, you know, CB4 role. I don't remember this before. And yet, you know, they kind of might want to think back a little bit. A little bit of caution might be necessary here for them, because they once went into a draft thinking they didn't really need to add any starter quality people. That was back in 2009. Now, some people may not remember that so well, but that's kind of a legendary draft in Dallas because it was so bad. There was an article at Blogging the Boys years ago, which was looking at a bigger survey of the worst drafts in NFL history. And that 2009 Cowboys class was tied for the 13th worst across the league, all teams, period. And that's just kind of, that's not a good place you want to be among the elite, so to speak, the elite of the worst. It was kind of an odd situation. They had traded away their first round pick that year to get wide receiver Roy Williams out of the Detroit Lions, which was not a move that paid off well at all. And then they traded out of the second round and they wound up taking 12 players, and it became known as the special teams draft.
Ah, why? And see, that's what I remember about it, was that the goal was to find a guy that at least could contribute on special teams. No worries about a starter. We don't need it. We don't need any holes to be filled. We just need a guy that can be drafted and make the team out of camp, because it's going to be so tough to make this football team.
Yeah, they got almost nothing out of these 12 players. It was like a waste of the whole draft, period. That's the only way you can look at it. I think they had an overestimation of the quality of their roster going in, which I don't think is true this year.
You could argue that 2009 torpedoed Tony Romo's career.
Yeah, it hurt. It hurt that draft for years.
In and of itself. Sorry to interrupt you there, but I just had a stream of consciousness thought.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, because that was – They were digging out of that hole for a good part of Romo's time as the starter. And
that's why they can't make a mistake with this draft, right? Because they can't make that same mistake.
I don't think so. There are proven starters all over this team right now. You know, there may be some shuffling, like the discussion they've had about where they're going to play Terrence Steele, how they're going to try him out. You know, Jerry Jones likes him as the swing tackle, which, you know, there's kind of logic to that. If you can plug in the left guard hole, is having Steele as the swing tackle, because you know he's going to play like half the season at right tackle. Mm-hmm. If that's where they have Tyron Smith. But you still – look at maybe they learned a hard lesson, because just like they started treating free agency after they felt burned by the Brandon Carr deal, and after they traded up to get Morris Claiborne and those didn't work out, they got real careful about how they treated free agency and trading and stuff. And this, I think, was part of it. They looked at what happened then and said, man, we really need to look at draft capital, especially in the first couple of rounds, as a more valuable asset. and use it as such. So now I don't think they're very likely to do any trading back. And if they do, I think it would be very judicious, just maybe a few spots, because I think there's really going to be some of their guys still there and that kind of stuff. And they are drafting almost purely for depth, I think. They're looking at guys that, okay, maybe they'll be able to step up to a start in an emergency situation, but mostly guys that are going to see some playing time, but not as the starters, and that are future plays, which, given the fact that they're drafting so late in each round, I don't think that's such a bad way to look at it.
Well, it's as good of a position as any of us would have expected them to be in at this point in time. Certainly myself, I wouldn't have imagined that they would have been able to shore up nearly every vacancy, to the point that not only can, you know, we name a group of starters, but as you said, a rotating cast potentially of guys that could move into those roles. Israel Mukuamu is another name that comes to mind. Damone Clark could play his way into a more substantial role. And, you know, the Gilmore trade, it seems almost like this is a similar offseason and that they did learn their lessons from 2009, because back then they gave up their high-end capital, and this time around they had enough powder to be able to move those picks for pieces that were unwanted or undervalued in the places they were in and bring those in a place where they can utilize them to the best of their coaching staff's ability. It's an exciting time to be heading into the draft, knowing that they can take so many different routes and become a better football team because of it. Because ultimately, best player available from a draft perspective, to me, seems like the approach that keeps you winning long term.
Yeah, and they are probably going to be closer to a pure BPA approach than they've ever had a chance to be. I mean, I was just thinking, if you look at those, the starters that I came up with, and look at what they actually started the season with last year, that's a stronger roster. That's a stronger starting lineup than it was.
Let's go through them. At quarterback, obviously, Dak. Starting running back, we expect Tony Pollard, that's going to be there. Tight end, Jake Ferguson.
Yeah, that one's kind of a little bit of a bet. I think they think he can replace Dalton Schultz. And it has to be proven, but it's fairly clear there was something that they were sour on Schultz about. You know, maybe he did just – I heard he was kind of a different guy in the locker room or something. And so I think they made him you know, that one – we got to see how it works out. They've got Peyton Hendershot.
That's what I was going to say. You can put a slash Peyton Hendershot in there and feel great about either option, or at least feel good about either option going into the season.
Yeah, but then you get to where I think it's a lot stronger. When you've got CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, and Michael Gallup, that's unquestionably better than what they started the season with last year, because Gallup wasn't even available. It was CeeDee Lamb and holy cow. I mean, you got Noah Brown and whoever else could go out there. Then you know, your line.
It's like they added two pieces there, right? And at this point, I would be fine if they didn't do a single thing anywhere further at that position. If they do something, I'm good with it. I'm good with that, taking a chance. But I now feel they could do nothing and be good.
You mean with free agency?
Bingo. With free agency or even in the draft. I don't think they necessarily need to take a wide receiver in the draft, because Cooks is here for 2 years.
Yeah, it's where you can afford to not make a mistake because you feel like you need a player, and you reach a little bit when there was a better guy at some other position that could help your team. The line is Tyron Smith is, if he's healthy still, remember he did go down in preseason last year. So basically every time they're on the field, I'm going to hold my breath to hear that he walked off healthy. But you've got Tyron Smith, Tyler Biadasz, Zach Martin, and Terrence Steele. They think they're going to be those five guys lined up in some arrangement. And so just because they hope to have Tyron there out, it seems to be better. Across the defensive line, you've got Marcus Lawrence, Osa Odighizuwa. Now they've got Hankins in. I was thinking Neville Gallimore, and then they got Hankins back. Boom, okay. And Dorrance Armstrong with Sam Williams working in the wings. Linebacker, you've got Leighton Vander Esch, who I think is very important beyond just the fact that he played very well last year, but he's also the brains out there getting Dan Quinn's play calls working. And then you include Micah Parsons as the will linebacker, just because, you know, he's going to play sometimes as the will linebacker, and other times he's actually going to be up there as a pseudo defensive end. And pseudo is not the right word, because he's the best pass rusher they have. So they've got that taken care of. And I think you'll see a lot of times when he is out there alongside Vander Esch, and they've still got four down linemen up ahead of them. That's just a package they use a lot.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, then it doesn't feel like defensive line or pass rusher. That feels like another position where if they skipped it entirely, I'm fine with what they got. They have almost 11 guys, if I go through the names: Hankins, Lawrence, Odighizuwa, Armstrong, Gallimore, Dante Fowler, Sam Williams, yes, Quentin Bohanna still, Tack McKinley, who they signed.
Maybe.
And is a maybe, but admittedly. And then Isaac Alarcon, who they brought over from the offensive line, or at least trying to make him into a project something. So yeah, that's, you know, nearly a dozen guys that we're naming, and that's not even included if they bring Carlos Watkins back. We're probably set on the defensive line and the pass rush.
Yeah, I think they've got plenty of pieces to assemble the names they need for the 53-man roster there. Then when you've got Stephon Gilmore joining Trayvon Diggs and Jordan Lewis, yeah, you have to think that's a better group than it was when they had Anthony Brown in there. And I think Anthony Brown was a good piece last year. I just think even as far into his career as he is, Gilmore has to be seen as an upgrade. And then you throw in Jayron Kearse and Donovan Wilson as your safeties. I like that. I feel that is a really solid starting roster to begin the season with. And, you know, if you can keep most of them healthy, it could be a really good performance this year out of the team. And just, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I try to be cautious about getting over-optimistic or buying into the hype. Mm-hmm. But I look at this and it just feels there's a lot of meat on this plate.
So I'll ask a couple questions then as we get towards the draft, and, you know, bear with me on those. Because if you look at how the Cowboys could potentially approach it, you might almost say, hey, you know, should they go for broke? Should they try to add a piece that could be spectacular? And even is there room to consider a trade up, knowing that there's not a ton of roster spaces that'll be available within this team? So I'll start there, right? Would you even entertain the idea of a Cowboys trade up in this draft in the first round?
Yeah, I guess it might depend on if there was really a player that looked like they were going to be a tremendous help to the team. I just don't know that there's going to be one that's within range of what the Cowboys could do. I don't want them to package their first and their second to move up. I'm just kind of constitutionally opposed to that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather they keep their third, so I'm not real fond of that concept. Yeah. I think even though the draft has some weaknesses and some strengths, and so I think they should let the draft flow to them and then look at what they've got when they get on the clock. And then I think really lean hard into the BPA. I mean, I'll even go out on a limb and say if there was a quarterback that they really thought could grow and be an insurance policy in case things really broke down, would that poison the well like happened in Green Bay? I don't know, but I would say you could at least think about it. Now, let's back away from that. Let's push that.
That's a discussion for another day. I won't even entertain it in the first and second round. I won't even think about it now for me.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense that that player would get to 26 because there's too many quarterback hungry teams this year.
And to answer my own question, I don't think the Cowboys would entertain a trade up either. I think, and most Cowboys fans think, they've learned their lesson in this regard. And you're better off taking three swings and hoping one turns into a home run than taking one swing and hoping, or really needing it to be a home run.
Yeah.
And so I
agree.
Yeah. That's a better place to find themselves in. And they have prepared themselves for that. Best player available. I'll say this. I would even entertain now, knowing where they are from a roster standpoint, I'll even entertain a running back in the first round now, Tom. I know I was staunchly against it. I know I said never, ever, ever. I'll entertain it, and I won't, like, kill you if Bijan happens to fall that far. He won't, but I won't kill you, and I won't be crazy upset with where their roster is now, knowing that at least that solidifies that position for the next couple of years going forward.
And we have to understand that they may have somebody, another running back, and I'm not familiar enough with the board to throw a name out there, but they might see one and they think he's the best player left and take him at 26. And again, I'm not going to go like, okay, probably could help with Tony Pollard. Put him out there and get some snaps for him. And I, like you said, I'm not going to blow up. Take a tight end.
I take it back. I'm going to blow up if it's anybody other than Bijan.
Okay.
I will. Okay. I step it back. If it's anybody other than Bijan in the first round, because I think Bijan is ultimately a like top seven or eight talent in this draft. He's certainly not outside the top 10 from a talent skill perspective, but he's a running back.
I agree.
So I drop him out of the first round unless he falls all the way to 26, and then I'll entertain it. But no one else deserves that, Tom. I won't entertain that. I won't allow it.
Okay. All right. Not on this that way. We'll put Jerry Jones on notice and tell him he best not transgress. I would love to maybe see this free them up a little bit from some of their positional thinking. You know, they don't like to spend on defensive tackles. They don't like to spend on safeties. You'd think they'd be willing to go for a guard because they've done it before. It was a while back, but they took Zach Martin, and that has paid off royally. That has been one of the best draft picks they've made in a long time. And I would love to see them maybe get somebody that was really good at one of those kind of undervalued spots and have them there to help in as they go forward and be that valuable backup right now. Because as I said, when you've got a guy out there, you never know. Just because they're the starter, that doesn't mean they're going to be there week two, week three. You never know when something can happen. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see them really just sit there and go like, okay, who's the best guy we've got on the board right now that we can take? And even if that led to maybe a double up situation, and they repeated position, the first round position in the fourth or fifth round, yeah, go for it. I think this is, as you say, it just is so freeing. It's like, go out there and really make sure you got your homework done and know who your guys are as they're coming up and take them and be happy and let's see what we can do with them. And how can we get them with some snaps for experience? That's a great problem to have. You know, when you're trying to figure out how to get some snaps for a guy because he's that good, it's just he's surrounded by other guys that are good. That's the problem you want every day of the week in the NFL.
Especially because it's a problem that typically comes with an answer in the NFL. If you just wait a little bit, guys are going to fall off. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to be needed to step up into positions where you didn't think the depth issue you had in those spots was going to hit you. The Cowboys have seen it happen to them in the past, and it obviously happens around the NFL every season. So to be able to find themselves in this position to where they can ultimately prepare for that. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher from an evaluative standpoint too this season because of the news that came down this week. I don't know if we wrote a blog about it, so forgive me blogging the boys if someone addressed it. But the news that training camp cutdown dates have been changed. They have eliminated the multi-tier cutdowns. And so rosters will go from 90 to 53 in one day, meaning over 1,000 players will get cut in a single day, 1 week before the NFL season begins. So it's not like you'll have nearly as much time. Teams won't have as much time to make those evaluative decisions about guys as they're cut on tier one, tier two, and tier three of the cutdown process.
Yeah. My thinking on that is I'm glad they're doing it that way. Give all these guys a chance to really
for the players
do their best, you know.
I agree.
And then, you know, there's a term called churn. That last week before the start of the regular season is going to be chaos. people are going to be all of a sudden signing people, and then it's going to be a domino effect because, one team, we'll just stay away from the Cowboys for a second, but the Bengals will cut down to 53, and then they'll go like, "Holy cow, that guard is better than our bottom guard," and then somebody else will go like, "Oh, whoa, wait, that guy, we think we could." And so you're going to, I think, see a lot of people. There'll be a lot of people on the initial 53-man roster that may be on two or three 53-man rosters, or out of or having to go on a practice squad, but by the start of the regular season, it's going to be cray cray.
Yeah, it indeed is. But because if the Cowboys solidify as many of those positions as they can, they will have their pick of the litter, and they'll have a little bit of extra spending money because of that money they get back with the post June 1 cut of Ezekiel Elliott, assuming, of course, they don't spend that money extending any of the players that are potentially eligible to be extended this offseason. So we will keep you posted on all that. Tom, another thought?
No, I was just wondering if we have written something on that. I might have to put something up about that.
Oh, that new rule? Yeah, well, I saw that announced by Tom Pelissero or Pelissaro of NFL.com, and I just thought, wow, more of a deal probably needs to be made of that. Because it almost makes for another day of free agency. It's like free agency right before the NFL season begins, because of not only the potentially talented players that'll be cut. There'll be plenty of players that are cut that will have played their last NFL game, but there will also be guys that get cut because they themselves are cap casualties and cap decisions that are made. And while they might not make sense, as you mentioned, in a Bengals uniform at $10 million a year, maybe they're willing to come back to Dallas and get paid in a backup spot, get a 1-year prove it deal. What a sweet position the Cowboys would find themselves in then. And again, with a week to decide for a lot of NFL free agents, the allure of the star might actually have a tangible benefit to it is, hey,
Could be.
it's your last chance to get seen.
And there's another little bit that enters in there that I think Jonathan Hankins is a great example of. He lives in the Dallas area, and there's kind of a sense that if he wasn't signing with the Cowboys, it's going to be, he just wants to play there and nowhere else. I think that's going to happen to maybe a few other people. People love to live in Dallas. Of the NFL cities, it's probably top five.
It was just named, like, and not irrelevant to the Cowboys. It actually is extremely relevant to the Cowboys. It was just named the number one city for sports business in the country. So there's no doubt that that has a big Cowboys weight attached to it. And what they've built up in Frisco, the infrastructure around it, it's being replicated by every NFL team in the league, but they're all lagging behind because the Cowboys kind of did it first. They built their own little community up there, and shoot, any player that's playing up there has got to have their eyes bugging out of their head with the amenities that are available to them just because of the fact that they are or have been a Dallas Cowboy. They get to train there still on a regular basis if they've ever played or even haven't played for the Cowboys. So it's a pretty enticing lifestyle for those that aren't familiar, that don't live in the DFW area, because I do live here right outside of DFW Airport.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Cowboys should be feeling really great right now.
Well, we will continue to keep you posted on what the Cowboys do from here. If any moves are made, we'll be the first to let you know. They're blogging the boys. Make sure you download the app and, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're coming at you every Tuesday with new episodes, and we will have you live for draft coverage coming up here in about a month. So stay tuned for that information as well. Make sure you check out all the content at bloggingtheboys.com. For Tom, I'm Roy. Y'all stay riled up on the Cowboys, and we will see you next Thursday.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.